Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Elder Lloyd, can you hear me now? Good afternoon, Elder Lloyd.
I can hear you now. Good afternoon.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, and I hope you're doing well as to the listeners.
Yes, we are doing very well. Well, 10 minutes off the time has already been far spent, so we're going to be trying to go through this as quickly as we can. We are concluding our discussion on the creation. When God created the universe, he did so with care and forethought. In fact, the order in which God created the earth and all its inhabitants show his masterful design. Now, what does the story of creation teach us about God's intention for the world? Elder?
Yes, sir. The story of creation in the book of Genesis reveals that God's intention for the world is for it to be good, orderly, purposeful. In fact, God created everything with care and intention. In fact, it was so meticulous that when he finished creating, he declared that it was good after each and every step.
Mm.
This teaches us that God values beauty, harmony, and life.
Mm-hmm.
And that his desire for the world is for the one to flourish with peace.
Yeah.
That it can flourish with peace and everything that is good. Creation of humanity is the image also that shows God intends humans to be stewards of the earth, to reflect his character and to live in relationship with him.
Yeah, a fantastic one. Now, how does the creation story inform our relationship with God?
That's a very interesting one. The creation story establishes God as the creator and making our relationship with him one of dependency and reverence.
Mm.
So we constantly depend on him. Since he is the God, he's the source of all life. Our relationship with him should be one of gratitude. It should be one of trust. It should be one of obedience.
Mm.
Being created in his image means that we are meant to reflect his nature.
Mm.
Yeah.
How are we meant to reflect his nature? I mean, surely we don't at this stage have the capacities that he has.
Yeah. No, you are right. So like I said, that we are meant to reflect his nature by living in accordance to his will and having dominion over creation, just like he had given us. So basically, when we follow his commandments, when we follow what he tells us to do, then that's how we are living in accordance to his nature.
But is it possible, though? I mean, to have dominion, over the nature, is that still possible?
I would like to think so, because let's first start by simple things like you plant. When you plant, you expect something to grow, and that's basically how it is. You've got livestock. It listens to us. There is nothing that has the intellect capacity like a human being here on earth. So it means we can definitely live with that dominion over nature itself.
Aren't we the ones who quickly run away when lions and leopards appear? That's not dominion for sure.
No, that's not dominion. That is the problem. Maybe it actually reminds me of the conversation that I once had with someone when we were talking about husband and wife, where we were speaking about husband having dominion over the wife. And this is what many people think. And they think that not dominion, having rulership or being given the role of being the head. Many think it means to dominate your wife. But in actual fact, that's not what it means. Being a leader is actually being a servant.
Mm.
It's actually making sure that everything is well provided for and well taken care of.
Okay. So you insist that we still have dominion over the nature?
I insist that we still have dominion, because if we decide right now to end the whole ecosystem, we can do that.
I see.
Yes.
Ah, all right. I see. Now, why then does it matter for us to know and believe the biblical account of creation? It doesn't really matter at all.
It does. It shapes how we view the world, how we view humanity, and how we view our purpose. It establishes a foundation for understanding the origin of life and the nature of God and the role of humanity. If we accept God, if we accept that God created everything, it gives life meaning and direction, and it reinforces the belief that we are accountable to God for how we live our lives and how we treat people around us, as well as the society, God's creation around us. Furthermore, it affirms the value of every person, as all are made in the image of God, and it encourages us to live in harmony with God's original design.
And now that what he created is no longer as it was supposed to have been, are we still enjoying the pleasure of his creation?
Yes, actually, that reminds me of a quotation that is found in the book Steps to Christ, where it says that the earth, though fallen in its state, has not lost its beauty. I mean, though of course there are thorns, but on top of the thorns you will get a rose. Though of course the world in its dilapidated state, there are places where you go and you just are in awe of God's marvelous creating power and nature. So definitely, I still think that in as much as the earth is fallen as it is, it still serves its purpose to remind us that indeed God is great and his creation is indeed beautiful.
Right. Well, I must let you go. But before I do, what would be your parting shot? I mean, we've been discussing this for the past couple of days now, the creation. But what is it that you'd like to impress on the minds of those who are listening?
What I would like to impress on the minds of those who are listening is that, number one, God created the earth. The earth was not, it did not just happen to be. It is God who created it. That should constantly remain in our heads. Number two, I would like to say that if it is God who created it, he created it for a particular purpose. So the only way to find out the purpose of something is to go back to the manual. And what is our manual? It is the Bible. So if we can go back to the Bible and find exactly our purpose for existence, then we'd be able to live up to our purposes. And someone once said that where your purpose is, that's where your money is also. Where your purpose is, that's where your life is also. And then number three, that is where our happiness will be. It is only up until we live a fulfilling, a God fulfilling, in fact, a fulfilling life. The only way we can live a fulfilling life in Jesus Christ is only if we are to be able to fulfill that which he has said in his word. And what does the word say? The word, from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelations, it teaches love. So if we can learn to love one another and learn to love our society, our community, and our surroundings, we are going to be able to fulfill the purpose in which God brought, in which God created us. And the more we do that, the more we become better, and the more in which our environment becomes better. So
Beautiful.
that's what I would like to say. That's how I would like to leave the audience with. That's what I would like to leave the audience with.
Fantastic. Well, Elder Lloyd, I must thank you so much for your time, and it's been a blessing having these conversations with you. I wish that you have a beautiful weekend. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and of course, bless your family. And in all your endeavors, may He always there and be present. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, and thanks to the listeners as well.
Blessings to you. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.